So my title for this morning's message is Cultivating the Spirit of Not Giving Up. The Spirit of Not Giving Up. And you can turn into your Bibles if you have one, or to your iPads, iPhones, whatever else that you carry today. And you can turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And that's going to be our text for this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You know, every time it comes to deciding on, you know, what to preach, what to teach on, it's never easy. Because you don't want to just dish out something that's on the internet or somebody else has done that's easy. But you just want to ask the Lord and say, Lord, what is it that you want for the house? What is it that you want for your people? And so it's just waiting on God and turning to Scripture, and then suddenly something, you know, just comes out at you. And that's something that has come out at me. That's what I'm going to teach on this morning. It's so easy for us. Society is such that the easiest way to get out of a situation is to give up. Correct? I think society today have got into a sort of a trend of, you know, if you can't hack it, then leave it. Don't persevere. You know, why bother? You know, it's too hard, so just give up. But if you notice that anybody who achieved anything in life was never a person who gave up, correct? It was never a person who said, I'm just going to give up, I'm going to just fold my hands, and I'm just going to go to sleep, and that's it. And life doesn't happen that way. I know some prefer that kind of life, but it never gets you anywhere. And so as Christians, when we walk this walk with Jesus, it's not an easy road. Because Jesus said, narrow is the road that leads to eternal life. Narrow is the road. But broad is the road that leads to what? Death. And so we have a choice to make every day when we wake up in the morning. Are we going to persevere? Are we going to walk this narrow road? Because Jesus never promised an easy road. But he said, I will be with you always, even to the ends of the earth. That's what he said, correct? So he's never not promised an easy road, because as Christians, we kind of get into this mindset that life is going to be easy. But you know something? The moment you know Jesus, the enemy starts buffeting you. The moment God has some plan for your life, the moment God wants to do something in your life, he wants to take you from where you are to the place that he wants you to be, immediately what happens? Temptation comes, trials come, tribulations come, and somehow the enemy tries to distract us from staying on the path, staying on that narrow path, and achieving what God has already purposed and destined for us. Because how many know that God has already planned our future? It's in his hands. Amen? So therefore, we don't have to worry about our future. If you read Matthew 6, you will see the scripture there. It says, you know, why worry about the things that we need? Because God is concerned over every one of us. And if we are willing to put our trust in him, he will see us through. And so it's a question of not giving up. Can you see that? That's the reason I thought I should speak on this, because we are coming into times where it's becoming so easy to give up. But I just want to encourage us this morning that in Christ, that in God, we do not have to give up. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 16 to 18. I'm reading it in the Message. But if you have your Bibles, whatever version you have, you will see it's the same, slightly worded differently. But I like this version. And Paul says this. Now Paul, if you look at the life of Paul, if you read the epistles that Paul wrote, you will see that he's a man who went through all sorts of trials, tribulations, shipwrecks, you know, name it, you name it, Paul went through it. And in this scripture, a man who had gone through everything, you know what he says? He starts like this. He says, so we are not giving up. Hallelujah. That's his attitude. That's who he is. He says, therefore we do not lose heart. That's in the King James, New King James Version. It says, we are not giving up. How could we? How could we? Even though on the outside, it often looks like things are falling apart on us. How many have been there? On the outside, it looks like things are falling apart on us. On the inside, where God is making a new life, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. We sang about grace this morning. Grace, wonderful grace. Grace, powerful grace. Grace of God, beautiful grace. Not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. These are hard times. These hard times are small potatoes. I like that. Compared to the coming good times. So these hard times, in other words, is not. You cannot compare this for the time that we are going to spend in eternity. They are the good times. The lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow. But the things we can't see now will last forever. Hallelujah. The things we see are here and they're gone tomorrow. The things that cannot be seen last forever. So I just want to unpack some of this morning. Paul here, he writes, the first thing he says is this, don't give up. That's what he says. And then he says, how could we give up on God? And I ask myself that question. God, how could I ever give up on you and your grace and your mercy? Because every day I walk, every day I live because of the grace of God on my life. So how could I ever give up on a God who loves me unconditionally? You don't see anyone loving you unconditionally. People love you under conditions. They say, if you love me back, I will love you. If you do this for me, I will love you. But God says, I will love you no matter. We sang again this morning, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done. God does not judge us, but he loves us. Why? Because that's why he sent his son Jesus, just for us. And we are coming into a season of Christmas very soon. And that's the reason, the reason for the season is Jesus. And so it says here, don't give up. Why? Because God did not give up on us. He sent his son, even when we had no regard for him. When we were not even thinking of him, God sent his son. The world was in chaos. There were many religious people, like today. There are many religious people. They have a form of godliness, but no power. They talk a big talk, but there is no walk. We can talk a big talk, but if there is no walk, the talk becomes useless, futile. God has a plan, and that plan was to never give up on humanity, even though humanity gave up on God. God's plan was never to abandon humanity. That's why Jesus came. He came into a world that was filled with hatred, a rebellious people, to give new life, to bring and birth his kingdom right here on this earth. We sing that song, Your Grace is Chasing Me Down. God's love is chasing us down. God's power is chasing us down. God's presence is chasing us down. Why? Because Jesus loves us so much. He will never give up on us. Tell your neighbor, Jesus will never give up on you. Because it's never based on your performance. It is based on His love for you. Isn't that amazing? So we don't have to perform because God loves us in spite of us. Hallelujah. You know, when Jesus went to the home of Zacchaeus, you remember the story in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19? And there he makes this comment. He says in Luke 19 and verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." That was his purpose. He came to do what? To seek and to save the lost. The love of Jesus will find you in your most desperate moment. The love of Jesus will find you in your most desperate moment because Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. God did not give up on us. Thank God for that. He looked at our pitiful state in our humanity and He did something about it. He restored us back to Himself where He wanted us to be. That's what He did. He made us His children. How many of you were here last Sunday? You heard Elliot preach an amazing message. I never heard anything like that before. His title was this, if you were not here, "Who the Hell Are You?" That was his title. And what he brought out was this, that Jesus took us dirt. Yeah, we came from the ground, correct? When God created us, He created us from what? Dirt. From the earth, from soil. So Jesus took us dirt out of the dust and He made something beautiful and something good. He also pointed out that when you plant a seed, you plant it in the earth, in the dirt, correct? If you plant a seed on gold, it won't grow. If you plant a seed on something else that's precious and valuable, it won't grow. But if you plant a seed in the dirt, what will happen? It'll grow. And I just believe that God took us from the earth, from the dirt, and He implanted His seed, the seed of the living Word, in us. Because John's Gospel talks about Jesus becoming the Word and the Word becoming flesh and dwelling where? Not in heaven, not anywhere else, but where? In us. Hallelujah. The Word abiding in us. That's the living Word. That's the transforming Word. That's the inspired Word of God living in us. He is the Word. Jesus is the Word. When you talk about the Word, it's not just printed paper. It's more than that. It is Him. It's His life imprinted in our own hearts. And that's why Jesus, in the Old Testament, say there's a section where it says, "God, take away this heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh." Why? Because God's Word is imprinted in our hearts. And so when we realize that even in our dirt state, God still made us valuable. God still put His power in us. God still looked at us and said, "You are precious to me. You are my precious, precious people that I love with an everlasting love." How can you and I give up on a God who loves us? Even in our dirt state, God still loves you and me. And He made something beautiful. We sing that song, "Something Good." All my confusion, He understood. When all I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something beautiful out of my life. Hallelujah. God can make something beautiful out of your life. Out of the dirt, God can bring out something amazing. More precious than silver or gold or all the jewels that you can have. The first point is, don't give up on the grace of God. Don't give up on God. Here's the second one. We read there that what's on the outside is falling apart. We grow old gracefully, don't we? 20 years ago, we looked quite different. Nevertheless, on the outside, we might be gracefully shedding, you know, this and that. However, on the inside, God is refining us. That's why God says, you know, your latter years will be better than your former years. How could that happen? Because God is doing something on the inside of us. So the outside really doesn't matter. What matters is on the inside. The inside is it's what matters. It's the heart. It's the heart that matters. The outside might look like it's falling apart, but on the inside, God is doing something new through His grace. The Word of God, the seed, Jesus Christ, came and dwelt among us. He is the abiding Word that lives forever. He is the regenerating Word that lives in us. He is the Spirit of truth, the Comforter. We read in John's Gospel chapter 14. And Jesus said, I will send you another Comforter. And He will abide with you. In other words, He will be with you. He will be in you. He will be part of you. When we have the abiding presence of Jesus in us, we can never lose. Tell their neighbor, you can never lose because of the abiding presence of Jesus in you. Hallelujah. I hope that gives you some encouragement this morning to know that you can never lose. Don't let anyone tell you you are a loser. Because in God, you are never a loser. If you look at the life of Paul, as I said earlier, he went through pretty tough times. Things that I would never want to go through. But he knew God's rest. He knew God's purpose. He knew God's rewards. He said, what I do now, I count as nothing really. That's what he said. I count it as dung for the excellence of knowing Jesus. Everything I do now is nothing in comparison to what God has already laid up for me. You know, you might be thinking, oh, I wish I had some gold. But you know something? In the kingdom of God in heaven, everything is gold. Hallelujah. Everything. You know, the streets are gold. It's not tar. It's gold. Praise the name of Jesus. So everything on the outside might be perishing, but on the inside, God is refining and doing something amazing in us so that when we look at ourselves, we don't look at the outside, we look at the inside, and we know that on the inside, God is doing something in our hearts, in our lives, and refining us for something better. And have you realized this? Sometimes to enjoy the moment of overcoming, we have to go through the pain and the suffering, just like an athlete who focuses on the goal, the finish line, has to endure some pain, correct? An athlete doesn't just one day get up and say, oh, I'm going to run the 100 meters now and I'm going to win. No, he's got to put his body through some pain, through some torture, in order to win and cross that line. And to win, to overcome, sometimes we have to go through some periods of life that are painful, that are uncomfortable. And that's the time when we need to believe that Jesus is Lord in our lives. That's the time we've got to say, I'm not going to give up. Even though the pressure is on me, even though I'm going through this struggle, even though I'm suffering in this situation, I know my God is for me. And if my God is for me, who can be against me? It feels like the enemy is trying to overpower me, but that's a lie because his power is already defeated. He was defeated on the cross. He remains defeated. All he does is an impression or just a facade. Or just trying to believe, make us believe that he's more powerful. He's not more powerful. He has lost his authority. He has lost his power. Hallelujah. All power belongs to whom? To Jesus. And because you and I put our trust in Jesus, all the power that Jesus has is where? In you and in me. That's why we can overcome every situation, because of the power of God on the inside of us. Not because we are muscly or we go to the gym every day. It's because of the power of God on the inside of you. So you can look skinny, scraggy, it doesn't matter. When you have the power of God in you, you are an awesome person. Hallelujah. Are you getting something this morning? Nobody likes pain. Who likes pain? Who likes suffering? Nobody likes it. But sometimes we got to endure it and ignore the discomfort. Why? Because God is refining us. Sometimes we got to go to the fire and be refined in order to get to the place where God wants us to be. And that is never an easy road. That's why Jesus said, narrow is the road that leads to eternal life. It's easy to walk on a wide road. It's not easy to walk on a small path, because you got to look where you are going. The psalmist David, he realized and he knew the mercy of God. I think he was the worst sinner. He had committed adultery. He killed the husband or the woman he committed adultery with. But he said in Psalm 51, he said these words. He said, create in me a new, clean heart, O God, filled with clean thoughts and right desires. And God, make a fresh start in me. This morning, you can ask the Holy Spirit to create a clean heart in you. You can say, God, fill me with clean thoughts, with the right desires in my life, that I will go after the things that matter to life and not to death. God, make a fresh start in me. You know, through the challenges, through the pain, through the discomfort, we become stronger. You can never know how tough you are until you face a challenge. You can do all the muscle pumping, but the day that you lift those weights and you lift those weights and above everybody else, you know, man, I've got some strength. But till then, you're looking good, but nobody has tested that strength. And it's the same, I believe, in the kingdom of God. The challenges come. When the challenges come, we overcome it, we become stronger. Embrace the challenges because they are good. Like we had last Sunday again, you have an obstacle, don't move it. And put it to one side, face it, because you can face your obstacles, amen? Because you have the power of God on the inside of you. Rise above it, because God, with God, all things are possible. In our walk with Jesus, oftentimes we have to endure the burden of suffering and pain, and even some disappointments, even some setbacks, to know the joy of pushing through, the joy of overcoming that obstacle. It's like a mother giving birth, goes through the pain, the discomfort, might be for a few hours, long time. But you know what happens? The moment that baby is birthed, there is joy. The pain is forgotten, at least momentarily. And that's the same. When we go through life's challenges and we come out on the other side, the pain is gone. For the joy of knowing that euphoria, or that adrenaline rush of winning. So let's be prepared to endure the hard times. Let's be prepared to go through the tough times. Why? Because the times of refreshing will come. It'll follow. We must also focus on the reward of our faith and the joy that lasts forever. For no matter what happens to us in this life, we have an assurance of eternal life. Amen? We have an assurance of eternal life. Hallelujah. Look at what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14. This is from the Living Bible translation. He said this, I strain. In other words, I force myself. I put myself through unusual great effort to do what? To reach the end of the race and receive the prize for which God is calling us up to heaven because of what Christ Jesus did for us. And the message says, it says, friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this, but I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. So I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. We sing a song when we usually baptize people. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. That's what Paul is saying here. I have made my decision. I have set my sights on the goal. I'm not turning back anymore because I know that what is before me is far better than what I have left behind. And I will reach to that goal. I will strain. I will push forward. I will go through unusual things. Unusual effort will I put in because I know what's ahead of me. And I know that is far better than where I am now. And that should compel us to move on in Christ. Everything we do, good or bad, has an eternal significance. Write that down. Everything you do, good or bad, has an eternal significance. The reason I come here, the reason I get involved in what the things of the kingdom is why? It's because everything we do has an eternal significance. When you come out, you put a chair out here. You put the curtains up here. You show up in the morning. Everything you do has an eternal significance because we are not living for ourselves. We are living for the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And what God wants from us is to be willing to submit our lives to Him, is to be willing to spend our lives not pumping ourselves for our own glory and selfishness, but to pump ourselves with His Word so that we can be useful and used by the Spirit of God in the marketplace. Because people are waiting to hear the gospel of Jesus. Over this weekend, we were training ourselves to teach on parents for life. Why? Why do we put ourselves on a weekend when we can be resting, when we can do other things? We put ourselves through it. Why? Not for our benefit, not for our gain, because we want to learn the things, the scriptures, and the God's design and plan for parents. Because today there are parents who are struggling to bring up their children because they haven't been told how to bring up their children in the ways of the Lord. And we have a very clear mandate in the scripture as to how we ought to bring up our children. And if we don't teach this to parents, how will they know? And so we went through that course. It was a refresher course. And we just believe that God's going to open doors for us that we can teach this to parents to show them before it's too late how to bring up their children in the fear of the Lord. Because when we bring them up in God's fear and God and knowing God, we can entrust them into God's care. We know that God will look after them. God will see them through. And that we know by I mean, you've seen our children. You know who they are. And that hasn't happened overnight. That didn't happen by accident. It happened because we were determined to bring them up in the fear of the Lord. We were determined to pump this word into their lives. We were determined to bring them to the house of God and show them what it is to serve God. And praise God that today, or what we deposited years ago and trained them up with today, they're in the house of God and they're serving the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what God can do. When you put things right in your home, when you put things right in your children, in your family. You can expect God to honor that. Why? Because you're put in the work. You're put in everything into their lives. And you can know that God is faithful. Everything we do has an eternal significance. Your conversations that you have at work with your colleagues has an eternal significance. Your friend that you have befriended, there is a purpose for why you've befriended them. There is a purpose under heaven for everything that happens in our lives. We are no accidents. We are no misfits. Every child that is born, maybe born out of wedlock, born out of rape, born out of any other situation you can think of, God knew it already. And He designed a plan and a purpose for that child. Every child is important. Every child has value. And that's what we want to teach our parents. That every child has value. Because God values them. Today, if you're at the point of giving up, ask God for a fresh start. Ask the Holy Spirit, God, I feel kind of messed up. I've tried different things. I feel worn out. I feel tired. I feel that whatever I put my hands to has never worked. Today you can have a fresh start. Remember, our journey of faith is not a sprint. It's a marathon. People who train for sprints can never last a marathon. You and I are called for a marathon. Our journey with the Lord is a marathon. But you know something? With God, we can. Amen? With God, we can. Can I hear you say that? With God, we can, or I can. Again, with God, I can. Say it with a bit more oomph. With God, I can. Hallelujah. Jesus loves you. You know what? He has a plan for our lives. As I said earlier, we are not misfits. He has a plan. He has a desire to give you joy to the full. His desire is for you to prosper. Jesus can change the past that you cannot change. He can go to those places of your failures. He can deal with those situations that have happened in the past. And He can bring you to a place of newness in Him. Only Jesus can do that. The question is, would we allow? Will we allow this amazing God to do that in our lives? He's the same today as He was yesterday. And forever, His love for us will be the same. He's an amazing friend. The Bible says He's closer than a brother. He's there in our time of need. You and I, we can put our trust in Jesus. He listens to every prayer, even the onions. Every prayer that we pray, Jesus hears. You might think it's useless, but God hears it. Every whispered prayer that you have prayed, God has heard it. In your desperation, the things that you have prayed about, God knows. You might be asking, why hasn't God done anything? Maybe it's the timing. God has His time to deal with every situation. And sometimes we've got to go through the pain because God is teaching us something. The question is, do we want to know Jesus? Are we willing to be obedient to His voice this morning? Let's all stand together. I just want to invite you. that you can make it in life with Jesus. You can make it in life. Nothing too hard that He cannot do. It might be a situation in your health. You might be expecting a miracle. Keep expecting that miracle. Don't give up on it. You might think, oh, I've been suffering for this for years. Don't give up. God can still do that miracle. Amen? You just got to keep believing. Say, God, I'm believing for my healing. I'm believing for the salvation of my family. I'm believing for the healing of my children. I'm believing, God, that you're bringing my children back to you. I'm believing, I'm standing in faith. It might not seem like that on the outside, but I'm declaring it by faith this morning. What is your declaration? If you do not know this Jesus, you can know Him right now. And all you have to do is say, Jesus. You can pray this prayer after me. Say, Jesus, forgive me for the sin that I've committed. I repent of my sin. And Lord, I receive you into my life. Come, make your dwelling in me. Change my thinking, change my life. I want to follow you. In Jesus' name. That's all Jesus wants us to do, is believe and trust in Him. This morning, don't give up. How can we give up? Such a gracious Father. Don't give up. Don't look at the outside. Look at what's on the inside. A scripture that says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it come the issues of life. Guard your heart. You can say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. Renew my thoughts. Renew my being. God will do it. Father, I thank you this morning that you are such an amazing God. You're an amazing Father. You love us so much. I thank you for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, in this season of Christmas. As people are preparing, Lord, with whatever is on their mind and in their hearts, God, I pray that they will have a revelation of who you are. God, that as a church we will shine in this locality, in this community. They will know here's a place they can come and receive the best gift of all, the gift of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'll make us a blessing this week in our place of work, in our homes, in our neighborhoods. Make us a blessing. Use us, Lord, to bring light into a dark situation. To be the salt that you called us to be. To be spent out for somebody. To go the extra mile. To show the love of Jesus. Here we are, Lord. We're so glad. We're so thankful that your mercies are new every morning. And your grace is more than enough for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord is risen this morning.